prize pack all this month.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Dan Friedel.
And I'm Katie Weaver. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak slowly, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. Today on the show, we have reports from Brian Lynn and Gregory Stockel. My co-host, Dan here, and Gina Bennett present the education report. Later, we will take the plunge with Anna Mateo on this week's words and their stories. But now, here's Brian Lynn.
Researchers have used radar and other technologies to study a large star sand dune in eastern Morocco. The team said it was able to capture detailed data on how these dunes form and develop. A star dune is named after its shape because it can look like a star when seen from above. These structures are very large and have a hill or peak at the top. They have large masses called arms spreading out from the peak. Star dunes are shaped by wind and other conditions in the environment. Star dunes are common in deserts and can be found in Africa, the Middle East, China, and North America. But scientists say although there are a lot of star dunes, the formations have not been studied very much so far. The new study, believed to be the first of its kind, was led by two British researchers. It examines a large star dune in the Sahara Desert's Erg Chibi sand sea in Morocco. The research results recently appeared in the publication Scientific Reports. The scientists said the star dune rises 100 meters above surrounding dunes and is 700 meters wide. The structure contains an estimated 5.5 metric tons of sand. The researchers used radar that can see underground to look at different elements within the star dune. The science instruments that were used are designed to map all layers within the dunes. They also used a method called luminescence dating to study the age of the dune. This method uses minerals in the sand to estimate when they last received sunlight in an attempt to guess the age of the dune. Jeff Duller is a professor of geography and earth sciences at Britain's Aberystwyth University. He said in a statement the new technology had finally made it possible to study these large dunes. It's only because of new technology that we can start to uncover their secrets, Duller said. The researchers estimated the oldest parts of the base of the star dune are about 13,000 years old, and the dune is moving across the desert at a rate of about 50 centimeters a year. The team noted the star dune experienced the most growth during the past 1,000 years. Star dunes make up just 10% of all dunes in Earth's deserts. They have also been observed on Mars and on Saturn's moon Titan. Earth's largest star dunes are found in western China's Badangeron Desert. Star dunes also are found in places including the Namib Sand Sea in Namibia, large sand seas in Algeria, and Rub al Khali in Saudi Arabia. In North America, Great Sand Dunes National Park in Colorado contains a series of them. I first encountered star dunes in Namibia 20 years ago, Duller told Reuters news agency. He added that he still has clear memories of being surprised at the size and beauty of the first sand dunes he saw. I have a vivid memory of the long climb to the top, struggling up very loose sand in the heat of the day. I'm Brian Lynn.
Europeans can now choose what online services, including browsers and search engines, to use for their mobile phones and computers. They can also choose where to download iPhone apps and how their personal online data is used. They are part of changes required under the Digital Markets Act, or DMA. The DMA is a set of European Union laws that six large technology companies had to start following recently. Those companies include Amazon, Apple, Microsoft, Google parent Alphabet, Facebook owner Meta, and TikTok owner ByteDance. The DMA is the latest in a series of laws that Europe has passed as a world leader in controlling large tech companies. The companies have followed by changing long-held ways of doing business. For example, Apple will permit people to download smartphone apps outside of its App Store. Here's a look at how the Digital Markets Act will work. Some 22 services, from operating systems to messenger apps and social media companies, fall under the DMA. They include Google services like Maps, YouTube, the Chrome browser, and the Android operating system. Others are the online store Amazon's Marketplace and Apple's Safari browser and operating system iOS, Meta's social media and messaging sites, Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp are included, as well as Microsoft's operating system Windows and social media site LinkedIn. The companies face the threat of large fines of up to 20% of their yearly worldwide income for repeated violations. That could amount to billions of dollars. And they also face the threat of a breakup for major violations. Zach Myers is an assistant director at the Center for European Reform, a research organization. He said, "If it works, many Western countries will probably try to follow the DMA. Already, countries like Japan, Britain, Mexico, South Korea, Australia, Brazil, and India are writing their own versions of DMA-like rules. The aim is to prevent tech companies from having too much control over online markets. In one of the biggest changes, Apple has said it will let European iPhone users download apps outside its App Store, which comes with its devices. Apple has long opposed such a move. A large part of its income comes from the 30% charge it demands for payments made through iOS apps. Apple has warned that downloading apps outside of its store will come with added security risks. Now, Apple is cutting those charges for developers in Europe that choose to stay with its payment processing system. But Apple is adding a 55-cent fee for each iOS app downloaded through outside app stores. Critics say that will persuade existing free apps to not use outside stores. Avery Gardner is a director at the music company Spotify. She said those outside app stores will never grow because they will be missing many apps that would need to be there for people to want to use those stores. Users of mobile devices will have more choices online. They will not be forced to use certain services like Apple's Safari browser or Google search engine. Android users can choose which search engine to use, and iPhone users will get to choose which browser will be their main one. Microsoft, meanwhile, will stop forcing people to use its Edge browser. Some Google search results will show up differently because the DMA bans companies from giving preference to their own services. So, for example, searches for hotels will now show a list of booking sites like Expedia. Users can also stop companies from using their online data to target them with advertising. The DMA also requires messaging systems to be able to work with each other. Meta owns two messaging apps that fall under the rules. So it is expected to come up with a proposal on how Facebook Messenger and WhatsApp users can send messages, videos, and images to each other. I'm Gregory Stockel.
The Dartmouth College men's basketball team voted to join a labor organization called a union this week. The move means that the student athletes on the team could have the right to negotiate a working contract like other university employees. In an election held by the National Labor Relations Board, NLRB, the team members voted 13-2 to join Service Employees International Union Local 560. The same union also represents some workers at Dartmouth. Cade Haskins and Romeo Myrtle are Dartmouth basketball players. The student athletes said of the vote, "We as students can also be both campus workers and union members. Dartmouth seems to be stuck in the past. It's time for the age of amateurism to end." However, the school in Hanover, New Hampshire, has already appealed the local NLRB decision. In a statement, Dartmouth said, "Classifying these students as employees simply because they play basketball is as unprecedented as it is inaccurate." The school also warned the students that unionizing could get the team removed from athletic competition.
Both sides have until March 12th to file objections with the NLRB. The case could also end up in federal court, which would likely delay the outcome for some time. The Dartmouth vote is the latest effort by student athletes to unionize and gain money and other rights in exchange for many hours spent practicing and playing sports. In 2015, a local NLRB blocked an attempt by students on the football team at Northwestern University in Illinois to form a union. But the decision did not directly answer the question of whether student athletes are employees. The history of college students playing sports for their school goes back over 100 years. The National Collegiate Athletic Association, or NCAA, is the governing body for college sports. The organization has long said that its players are student athletes who go to school mainly to study. At first, students were not paid to play sports and were considered amateurs. Gradually, student athletes from large universities started receiving money for housing, food, and tuition. In recent years, American television networks have spent more money to broadcast college sports around the country and the world. The Big Ten, an athletic organization with college teams from the New York area to Los Angeles, reached an agreement in 2022 to broadcast its football and basketball games for $7 billion. As college sports became popular, teams from large universities now regularly play in front of large crowds of up to 100,000 people. And some student athletes have become even better known than professional athletes. In 2021, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the NCAA could not prevent college athletes from getting paid by outside groups in return for the use of their name or image. That opened the door for some college athletes to make lots of money. This year, one top student athlete is Caitlin Clark, a basketball player at the University of Iowa. She set college scoring records and reportedly earns nearly $1 million a year for the use of her name and image. The Dartmouth basketball players will never be famous enough to make that kind of money. One student athlete said what he really wants from the union push is to get access to better health care so he can heal his basketball injuries.
Tony Clark is the head of the Major League Baseball Players Association. He said the vote gives the Dartmouth basketball players a seat at the table and powerful voice. One basketball coach whose team is very well known, Dan Hurley of the University of Connecticut, said some kind of union or players' organization is the future of college sports. These players are putting in incredible work days, work weeks, for 5, 6 months, he said. I think there's so much there that's going to have to be settled. A 2015 legal case suggested athletes like the basketball players can spend up to 40 hours per week involved in their sports activities, leaving little time for study or work. Haskins said he loves playing basketball, but he has had serious injuries to his ankle, hip, and shoulder while playing. It is definitely a burden, he said. Union interest among younger workers is growing, says the Economic Policy Institute. Workers under 45 joined unions at the highest rate in 2023. Myrtle said he will talk about the union with new students who are coming next year. We'll introduce them to the idea and what it means, he said, and then hopefully it gets passed on. I'm Dan Friedel.
And I'm Gina Bennett.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
And now, words and their stories from VOA Learning English. Today, we talk about trying something new or something you are unsure about. People can react differently to these kinds of situations. Some people may want to jump right in, feet first. They may want to take the plunge. And some people may want to test the waters. They may want to dip their toes in first. Which kind of person are you? Well, imagine you are standing on the edge of a lake or swimming pool. You want to get into the water, but you don't know the water's temperature. Do you jump right in? If you do, you may be more bold and adventurous. Or do you want to dip a toe into the water before you decide? If so, you may be more cautious and careful. If you dip your toes into something, you start doing it slowly and carefully. You are not sure if you will like it. You want to test the waters before beginning something or before taking the plunge. Testing the waters means you get a feel for something before committing to it. For example, if you want to move to a new city, you probably want to test the waters first by going there for a short stay. Taking the plunge is the opposite of dipping your toes. When you take the plunge, you jump right into something. You do not wait or hesitate. We use the expression dip your toes in for many situations. You may want to try an activity briefly to find out if you like it first. It can also mean you start something very carefully before becoming involved in something that you are not experienced at. Now, let's hear some of these expressions used in a non-water-related situation.
Hey, I'm going ballroom dancing this Saturday. Do you want to join me?
Ballroom dancing? I know nothing about ballroom dancing.
That's fine. This place I found is perfect for you. Before the dance starts, they give a free class to beginners.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll just go and watch. You know, dip my toes in. I like to know what I'm getting into first.
Sure. But I promise you, after the first 5 minutes, you are going to want to jump in feet first.
That is all the time we have for this Words and Their Stories. If you are new to VOA Learning English, there's no need to dip your toes in first. Just take the plunge. Visit our website to find more stories. Until next time, I'm Ana Mateo.
I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to the Learning English Podcast. We just heard Ana Mateo discuss a really fun phrase. It has me thinking of good weather. Ana is here now. Hi, Ana.
Hello, Dan.
So, Ana, tell me, are you a dip-your-toe-in-the-water kind of person or someone who takes the plunge?
I am definitely a take-the-plunge kind of person. Here are some examples. I moved to China without knowing any Chinese or without much money. I auditioned for a very difficult role on stage and then got it, which was very frightening. And once I flew in a hot air balloon over central Turkey, even though I am really afraid of heights, like really afraid. With all these examples, I didn't hesitate in making my decisions. I just said, sure, why not? Let's take the plunge.
Wow. I have to say, going up high in the air in a hot air balloon takes a lot of fortitude. Definitely, you don't want to be thinking about taking the plunge when you're high above the ground like that, but it's very impressive that you like to do things without hesitation.
So, Dan, which kind of person are you?
Well, I guess it depends on the situation. That is what you mentioned in your report this week. I think something that is really scary, like scuba diving in water filled with sharks, I'd be more likely to dip my toe in the water. But something that would not kill me, I'd probably take the plunge. I'd jump in feet first if you said I should try out for a new sports team.
Yeah, I can see that, Dan. I heard you may be taking the plunge on a move to a new city. What made you decide to do that?
Well, I guess you can call it a leap of faith. But that is probably for another Words and Their Stories. My wife and I do not know exactly what lies ahead for us at our destination, but as long as we are together, we think everything will be okay. We are taking the leap because we have faith in our ability to support each other.
Wow, that's pretty good. It is a leap of faith, and you are definitely taking the plunge.
That's right. But we did dip our toes in a little bit. We visited our new city 2 times to look for a new home. So not everything is an unknown. We are excited about getting settled in. The house has some tall palm trees, and they look really nice.
Awesome. That sounds great. But Dan, please do not climb those trees to give them a trim. You don't want to be too high off the ground and take the plunge down.
That's right. I will be careful. Or I will ask someone to help. I don't think I'll jump right into tree trimming. I have a lot of unpacking to do first.
Yes. Now for that, I say do not wait or hesitate. You do not want to be living with boxes for too long. Well, Dan, it looks like you have a lot of work ahead of you. I'll let you go for now. But thanks for having me.
Thanks again, Ana. Talk to you soon.
That's all the time we have for today's show. But join us again tomorrow for another VOA Learning English program. Thanks for listening. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Dan Friedel.